Good morning, church. We're so glad that you're here to join us this morning on the Lord's Day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. I'm so glad to have my lovely wife back here with me in ministry. Welcome back, Lady Sheila, and we're glad for all of you who have joined us this day on the Lord's Day. We preached a series of messages on the armor of God, and we thank God for that message. Many have said that they were blessed as a result of it. And I want to start a new series. In this series, I want to be speaking on the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Notice I didn't say fruits, but there is fruit. It's one fruit. And embodied in that fruit is a number of different things in the fruit of the Spirit. Amen. And Lady Sheila read that today. But I want to, the Galatians 5 and verse 22 and 23, it says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. Today, I want to focus on, and we might be here more than just 1 week, but I want to talk about love. Love never fails. Have you ever been in a car wreck and once you got out of the car wreck, and was it difficult for you to drive again, or were you afraid to drive again? And sometimes that's the way it is with love. We love someone, and that person disappoints us, and as a result, then we don't want to have anything to do with them. I've heard people say, yeah, I forgive them, but I will forgive them from afar. I'm not going to be vulnerable again. I'm not going to love them like I've loved them before. But I want to talk to you about the kind of love that never fails. It's the agape love. We've heard of a love called filio in the Webster Dictionary. It says, love is a deep affection for or attachment or devotion to someone. This is similar to the Greek word filio, which is in relationship to and regard to men. It's sometimes used in the context of kindness. Obviously, Philadelphia is called the city of brotherly love. But the Greek word agapio is God's divine love. That is used towards his son and towards you and I. It's a love that allows the believers to love those who are unlovely. It's a supernatural love that comes from God. That's the kind of love that we need today, really, in today's society. We just hear hate spewed, and sometimes when people spew out hate, then we respond with hate. But God is saying today that we have to respond in love. I know it was a tragic situation where Breonna Taylor lost her life, and they said, speak her name. And I think that's a good thing. You know, I think that black lives do matter, does matter. But I think the real key is that love matters even more. Can we love our enemies? Can we do good to those that despitefully use us? That's a challenge specifically for this day and this time and this season. As Sister Sheila also read that in your hearing in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43, it says, you've heard it says, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, and bless those that curse you, and do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. Oh, Pastor Ware, are you going in that place? I enjoy my hate. I enjoy disliking somebody. I enjoy talking about the situation and raining down as much condemnation as I can. But I don't think that's what God is saying. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore, you shall be perfect, just as your Father is imperfect. What would it be if God held us accountable for all of our sins? If God says, because you've sinned, I no longer am going to have anything to do with you. I'm just sick and tired of you, and therefore I'm finished. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. It's a situation that God loved us while we were yet sinners. Can you imagine that in our foulness and our grossness while we were in darkness? We that dwelt in darkness have now seen this great light, and we run into that light. So we thank God for his great love. If God had not loved us, where would we be? But because he loved us, he sent his Son down here on this earth, 100% God and 100% man, and he walked these dusty shores going about. What did he go about doing? Beating up on folks, cussing people out? No, he walked about doing good, healing all manner of sickness and disease. You can never find a place where Jesus was not doing good. Only one time is when he had some righteous indignation when he went into the temple and they were cheating and looting and taking advantage of people, selling them offerings there, that he got a whip and drove them out and said, you shall not make my house, this is my house of prayer and not a den of thieves. And so he doesn't know, he still doesn't like evil, amen, but he still loves us. I'm glad that he loves us. Listen, love is patient. Love is kind. Love is prompts action. Love is long-suffering. But love never fails. Sometimes human love may fail. Some people say, I don't love you anymore. My love has grown cold. Maybe I never loved you. Amen. Sometimes people leave here, ones that we love deeply, and yet and still that love has failed, but that's human love. But the love of God, loving his children, God kindles a flame in their hearts. It turns, they love others who are warmed by God's love through them. It's easy to say we love God when love doesn't cost us anything more than a weekly attendance to a religious service. But the real test of love, the love of God, is how do we treat people right in front of us, our family members and fellow believers? We cannot truly love God while neglecting to love those who are created in his image. I love when Lady Sheila goes to California, she always makes her way over to Victorville in California, where she has a little grandniece and nephew, and she just showers them with her love. Amen. And they just love Auntie. And so who are the people that we can demonstrate love to? Right now, we're in COVID. It's kind of hard to demonstrate love, but we can love those people right around us, can't we? And we don't have to be all mean and fussy all the time. Sometimes you might get a little fussy. Don't say amen, Lady Sheila. But you're supposed to love them and do good to them. Amen. One of the things about love that is that love casteth out fear. Because fear has torment. Fear is dreading the future. It's doubting what's going to come to us. But perfect love casts out fear. And when we really know the Father and we understand who the Father is and understand that the Father is love and that he has our best interests at heart, we can just bask in his love. Father, I know things look chaotic. I don't understand how you're going to work it out. But God, I know you love me and that you're going to keep me And no matter what happens to me, God, whether I live or die, I know that I will never be separated from the love of God. Jesus said that you're hid in Christ, and Christ is in God, and no one can pluck you out of our hands. That's how we are loved. Amen. Love casteth out fear. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Angels and demons or things present or things to come. The Bible said nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So I understand this. Somebody says sloppy agape, but it's not sloppy agape. It's not walking around like the children used to walk around, the peace children, or what would they call the hippies, and they loved everybody or supposedly loved everybody. That was a different kind of love. That was a lustful love. That wasn't the love of God. But the real love of God is able to handle hard situations and difficult situations. That's why Jesus said, or Paul says, now abideth these three things. And we talk about faith many times, and faith is very important. And I always try to emphasize hope, that we need to have a hope, because if we don't have hope, our life is not worth living. We got to believe that things are going to get better, and faith is what's going to take us to. But love is the engine that keeps us going, that keeps us moving forward. Hallelujah. Love is that's deep down on the inside of us, that when we want to fear, love says, you will not fear. Perfect love will cast out fear. No, you will not fear. Hallelujah. Because you know that God loves you. You're valuable. You're so valuable that God sent his only son to die for you. John 3:16. Because God places such a value on you, you need never to fear personal threat or difficult trials. These can't shake the love or dislodge his spirit from you. We're commanded not to fear as controlling motives of our lives. In matters of spiritual wholeness, God, but do not fear. To fear, to dread of displeasing him, a fear that banishes terror, that shrinks from his presence. You say you belong to the Lord, so do you fear him? To fear the Lord means to show deep respect and honor to him. We demonstrate the true reverence of our humble attitudes and genuine worship. See, there's a difference in being fearful and a reverence fear. You know, we are supposed to fear God. We're supposed to honor God. But we're not going to be fearful of him, because he loves us and he wants the best for us. Hallelujah. Can somebody say hallelujah? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Reverence was shown by God by Abraham and Moses and the Israelites. Their reaction to God's presence varied, but all deeply respected him. In Psalms chapter 34, verse 4 says, it states, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivers me from all my fears. Hallelujah. I like what Pope John says, that do not fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but has given us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. And when you feel fear trying to take over you, you must respond with the power of God. Begin to pray in the Spirit and let his power in you drive out fear. Next, God says for us to love. Fear appeals to our selfish desire. Fears enter through the portals of our mind. Fear tells us how bad things will be. I think all of us can hear that now, even just listening to news. They're projecting all types of things, and people are becoming fearful. And the Bible says that men will die because of fear. Their hearts will fail them because of fear. Fear appeals to our selfish desire. Fear tells us how bad things will be. If you focus your thoughts and life on something negative, it always will produce fear. Cast down our vain imagination. God gives us a sound mind. Begin speaking the word, because it will cause your mind to focus not on your fears, but on the word of God. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1 says, Jesus is our high priest of our confession of faith. Be always one who confesses the word. As you confess the word, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and it will drop also from your mind and into your heart. Satan challenges what you believe, but God gives us power. Hallelujah. That same power that raised up Christ from the dead is available unto us. The power of positive thinking, the power of prayer, the power of vision, the power of the Holy Spirit can help us overcome our fear of what some might say or do to us, so that we can continue to do God's work. So many people are afraid of what people are going to say, so afraid of what people think about them. Well, we have to learn right now to stand up for what is right. Hallelujah. We got to stand up for the love of God in our hearts. Sometimes I tell you, it's difficult. When we look at how people are treated, how people are treating us and treating others around us that we love, it's easy for us to allow hate to come up. It's easy for us to allow fear and anxiety to arise. You know, sometimes people are even afraid of the police right now. You know, but I try to make a point of it. When I see the police officer, I will roll down my windows and I'll say, how are you doing, officer? I appreciate you. See, it's an opportunity to spread love. Hallelujah. Have you ever bought somebody's lunch or dinner? Pastor Deacon Wilkins is going to go buy me a Subway sandwich after this service. Hallelujah, today. Amen. So he can show some love. Amen. No, it's, why can't we do something good for somebody? You know, why can't we extend the love of God? There's so much hatred in this world, so many negative things that are going about. But I'm telling you today, saints of God, love never fails. We overcome evil with good. We overcome evil with love. Hallelujah. Love never fails, even when we do. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it speaks in terms of falling short and missing and coming behind and rendering, failing falling short. And although we start out with good intentions, sometimes our faith might fail. But that's not time to give up. That's time to get up on your feet and say, you know what? God still loves me. Hallelujah. I might have missed the mark, but you know what? I'm still loved of God. Amen. And I'm going to get up and I'm going to get back into the race and I'm going to keep on moving. Hallelujah. Because love is with me. Amen. He loves me. And so I might make an effort to live at peace with all men. I'm going to make an attempt to be at peace with you. Now, I can't force you to love me. Hallelujah. But I can do things that are loving towards you. Amen. Actually, you know what the Bible says? It tells the husband to love their wives. I think many times I've read over there in Galatians chapter 5, 23, it says, for husband, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church. And he gave himself up for her to make her holy, clean, washed by the cleansing of the word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or any such thing. Instead, she shall be holy without fault. In that same way, what's that way? That same way of extending yourself, God is saying to the husband, love your wife, and you actually show love for himself. No man even hates his own body. If you're mean and you treat your wife mean, that means you don't even like yourself, because she's part of you. And that's why you find so many people fighting their wives and hitting them, just because they really don't love themselves. But when you really love yourself, you'll try to take care of that that's part of you, which is your wife. That's why the Bible said a man should leave his father and mother and shall join to the wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it's pertaining to Christ and the church. So again, I say to each man, love your wife, even as, and wives also must respect their husband. Okay, so there's a combination there. Women, you got to respect your man. You know why so many men leave is because when they start feeling disrespected, amen. But sometimes you have to kind of overcome that by continuing to show love. So love never fails, even when we do. Love is faithful, even to his call. Our God is faithful. love, faithfulness, each morning, morning by morning, new mercies I see. All that I've needed, thy hands has provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. God is so faithful to us. He loves us. He's consistent. It's not a matter of, I'll love you if you love me. Have you ever seen in those relationships, you know, as long as you give me what I want, I'll love you. But the minute you don't give me what I want, I don't love you no more. But God is saying, we've got to love even and despite of how that other person responds to love. Love is faithful. He said wrong desires and temptations happen to everyone. So don't feel that you've been singled out. Others have resisted temptation, so can you. Any temptation can be resisted because God will help you resist it. God helps you resist temptations by helping you recognize those people and situations that gave you trouble. Run from anything that you know is wrong. If you love God, you want to live right. You're not living right so that you can earn something from God. It's because you love him. And because you love him, you don't want to hurt him. When I was in Vietnam, I was the civilian personnel officer, so all the Vietnamese had to come through me, come through the post to work in that area. And invariably, there were always young ladies that would come and say, Tum Nguy, that was lieutenant. They would say, who is your girlfriend? Who's your girlfriend? They were looking for me to have a Vietnamese girlfriend. I pull out the picture of my wife, and I said, no, here, who's your girlfriend here? I said, this is my girlfriend. You know why? Because, first of all, I love my wife. But more than anything else, I love God. And I wasn't going to fail God. Because the anointing is what breaks the yoke. You know, there might be better preachers than me, but I declare there's not many people that can live better than me. Hallelujah. I'm not perfect. Hallelujah. But I try to live this thing out. I try to work it out by showing forth love. Hallelujah. Wise people realize that removing themselves physically from temptation. Sometimes you've got to get out of the tempting situation. Flee. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. Flee from all of this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Paul uses active and forceful verbs to describe the Christian life. Flee, pursue, fight, take hold of. Some think Christianity is a passive religion that advocates waiting for God to act, but we must have an active faith, obeying God with courage and doing what we know is right. It is time for action on our part. Don't wait. Let's get going. Let's go out and show love. Let people see us. We are ambassadors for Christ. Amen. Hallelujah. Paul says to live is Christ, to die is gain. But as long as he was here, he was going to finish his course. Therefore, at the end of his journey, he said, I've fought a good fight. I've kept the faith. And therefore, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, whom the righteous judge will give to me at the time of his appearance. And not only me, Timothy, but all of those who will follow my examples. Amen. Sometimes our society confuses love and lust. Unlike lust, God's kind of love is directed towards others and not inwardly towards ourselves. Lust is, I'm going to satisfy my needs. Love is, I'm going to satisfy your needs. I'm reaching out. It is utterly unselfish. The kind of love God goes against our natural inclinations. It's possible to practice this love only if God helps us and set aside our own desires and instincts so that we can give love while expecting nothing in return. Oh my God, can you give away love and not expect anything in return? Can you show love to that neighbor who's mean? Can you show love to that boss who is constantly pressing you, or to children who are disobedient towards you? Can you continue to show love to that loved one who doesn't respond in the same manner? But God helps us. God is faithful. God was faithful to deliver David. God told David, as soon as he heard the marching and the troops moving in the balsam trees, for him to get ready, that he was going to go out in front of him. Listen, God so loves us. He's not going to let you fail. This good work he started in you, he will see it unto completion. Why? Because he loves you. And as long as you keep your hand in his hand, he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. This is the kind of love that we are experiencing with a relationship with Christ. You can't find it anywhere else. You can't find it in a bottle. You can't find it in a drug out situation. Only God can give you the love that you need. I would encourage you to rest yourself in God. Let him pour his love into your life. Romans chapter 12, verse 9 says, love must be sincere. You're not cheating anyone. You're not fooling nobody. You know, you have to have God to help you to have a sincere love. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted one to another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Now, that's hard because, you know, we always have you ever seen people, they want to push their way up? That's why, you know, I hear my brothers, I love them, but sometimes there are apostles, and then there's bishops, and some people deserve to be a bishop, some deserve to be apostle, but I'm glad to hold on if I can just be a good pastor. Amen. I'll be doing good. And if I can be a good brother, I'll be even better. Hallelujah. I think that Dr. Alvin Lewis was telling me one time, he said, Max, he said, everybody, at that time, everybody wanted to be a doctor. He said, can we find a title that everybody can enjoy? What about just calling us brothers and sisters? Amen. That's what's important. I remember going to a church meeting one time, and a good friend of mine, an apostle from Detroit, I won't mention his name, but he saw me out in the audience. He said, there's Brother Ware out there. And he told me to beckon me to come up on the pulpit with him because he was visiting from another state, and he was going to come to my home, and we were going to have a good dinner together. He said, come on up, Minister Ware. And so I got about halfway up there. He said, all right, Evangelist Ware. By the time I got up, I think I was a prophet. But you know, I got promoted in those steps because it was important in people's eyes, I guess, to give me a title. But you know what? It doesn't change me. I'm still Brother Ware. I was saying that today. You know what? I am not going to allow anyone to puff me up in pride. You know, people call me from all over the country to ask for prayer and said, I know you can get. But you know what? I'm just still Max Ware. Amen. I'm still trying to get a prayer through for myself. And if I can help you get a prayer through, that's good too. But we cannot pump ourselves up. We got to honor one another above ourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. That's another way to show love. What are people needing? Find out what they're needing and try to provide that for them. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate yourself with low positions. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Is that applicable today? Is that applicable today when we see all the hatred that's going out in this world? I'm telling you, if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Haven't you heard somebody say, yeah, you come over here, I'm going to put my religion on the shelf. I guess there was a shelf designated for the religion, and then they acted any way they wanted to act. And then after they then towed you off and cussed you out, then they take the religion back off the shelf and put it back on again. It don't work that way. It has to be in you. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And doing this, you will heap coals, burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. Pour out love. Let's pour out love. Shall we pray? Father, we come to you right now. This is a challenging message to all of us, because it's easy during this time to hate that which is bad. But we're praying, God, for those that are doing evil. Praying, Lord God, that they might get to know you, that they might find the love of God shed abroad in their heart and in their life. Father, we surrender ourselves to you. We surrender ourselves to the Word of God. We surrender ourselves to the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.